Howdy, how we doing? Zach Gelb Shows, CBS Sports Radio. So the NFL Top 100 list is out. The top 10 players were announced last night. In at number 10, Chris Jones. 9, Micah Parsons. 8, Josh Allen. 7, Tyreek Hill. 6, Joe Burrow. 5, Travis Kelce. 4, Nick Bosa. 3, Jalen Hurts. 2, Justin Jefferson. And then 1, Patrick Mahomes. So I'm about to say something about Justin Jefferson and Jalen Hurts. If you listen to this show, you know I'm an enormous fan of both Jalen Hurts and Justin Jefferson. Justin Jefferson joined this show the day after he got drafted. And he said, every team that did not take a wide receiver or did take a wide receiver in front of me are going to pay. And going into that draft, when people were talking about CeeDee Lamb and Henry Ruggs, and you go through the wide receivers, Jalen Reagor too, and there was one other wide receiver that the name's just escaping me. But you go through those wide receivers, Jerry Jeudy was the other wide receiver. I said, why are people sleeping on Justin Jefferson? Like, did we not watch him at LSU? And they're like, oh, he's not going to be an elite wide receiver in the end. I'm like, what are people talking about? So I've always been a big fan of Justin Jefferson. And for Jalen Hurts, at the time, I'll fully admit, I did not get the pick by the Philadelphia Eagles, but Howie Roseman ended up being right. There is no debate about that. And Jalen Hurts is everything that you want in a professional athlete, the way that he conducts himself in the locker room, on the field, and then away from the team as well. As much as I love those two guys, I don't see how right now Justin Jefferson and Jalen Hurts are the second and third best players in the NFL. They got number one right in Patrick Mahomes. And sometimes they get cute about this and they don't give it to the best quarterback, and I think that's stupid. We all know the most important position in the NFL and in all of sports is the quarterback position. If you are the best quarterback, you're the best player in the NFL. And I'm not saying that the first 5 players on this list have to be all quarterbacks. I'm not. If you want to give me a dominant defensive player at 2, I'm fine with that. We've seen that in years past, right, with Aaron Donald and things along those lines. But a quarterback has to be one. And in this case, I think the 2 best players in the NFL are quarterbacks. Mahomes is 1, and then I'll go Joe Burrow 2. Now, with that being said, and this list is voted on by the players, Jalen Hurts, where there was that stupid PFF list that didn't even have him as a top 50 player, and you knew he was going to be in the top 100 list, but since this list is voted on by the players, it speaks volumes that the players voted him as not only the 3rd best player in the league, but the 2nd best quarterback in the sport. Because for a while, I think it was Kimberly Martin who on ESPN first said, there's national disrespect for Jalen Hurts. And I go, after the year that he just had, where's the national disrespect? And then you had that dopey PFF list. But the players spoke, and they spoke in a big way by putting Jalen Hurts 3. And Jalen Hurts should be in the Super Bowl once again this year. He should win the NFC with the Eagles. But I can't put him in front of Joe Burrow right now. If you want to tell me he's the 3rd best quarterback in the NFL, I can live with that. Personally, right now, I would rank Josh Allen 3, and then it's so close, you're splitting hairs, and I put Jalen Hurts 4. But in terms of who the 2 best players are in the NFL, Hickey, right now I go Mahomes 1, and I go Burrow 2. So my biggest reaction here is that Burrow wasn't the 2nd best quarterback on this list. He ended up being the 3rd best quarterback on this list and the 6th best player in the league. And the other was, I think, the world of Justin Jefferson, but I was surprised that he was voted as the 2nd best player in the NFL. So those are my 2 big takeaways from this list.
That's the only tricky part with this list is the fact that quarterback has obviously weighted more. So it's like when you're talking about the best overall player, like for the last few years, I think it was Aaron Donald that had the number 1 overall spot over Patrick Mahomes. And you could make an
argument.
Well,
Brady got it last year. Brady was 1 last year.
Right, but I think before that, I'm pretty sure Aaron Donald at least had 1, maybe 2.
Well, and that's what I said. As much as I I like Aaron Donald, and I think he's a dominant force and one of the more lethal human beings on the planet. I can never put a non-quarterback in that number one spot as the best player in the league. The quarterback has the ball in his hands every time that they take an offensive snap.
Oh, again, I'm with you. I'm agreeing that the weight of the position should matter.
Yeah.
But I could, like, there's an argument that, again, not now, but maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago, Aaron Donald was a better defensive tackle than Patrick Mahomes was quarterback. Different discussion, but because of the position of its importance, because of how it determines who wins and who loses so much, you have to have a quarterback, probably bare minimum 1-2. Like, if you put Jalen Hurts 3, can I sit here and say that's ridiculous? Absolutely not. Like, if they go Patrick Mahomes 1, Joe Burrow 2, Jalen Hurts 3, and then push Justin Jefferson, Nick Bosa back, you know, two spots, I couldn't say that's crazy because, again, you have to give extra weight to the position.
Here's the reason why Burrow needs to be in front of Hurts. Yes, Hurts outplayed Mahomes in the Super Bowl. He outplayed him. He lost the game, though. Now, I don't crush him for that loss. People are like, oh, the fumble that went for a touchdown. If you watch that game, Jalen Hurts was the best player on the field. He didn't win, though. Joe Burrow has gone toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes for the last 2 years, and he's defeated him 3 out of 4 times. 3 out of 4 times. Twice in the regular season and once in the postseason. So we always get it. Like, Sean Merriman had joined this earlier. He was making the case that Peyton Manning is the greatest quarterback of all time. He's not. But he even said that he hates that argument. He hates even making that argument. Because to praise your guy, you almost have to slam the other guy. And in this case, I'm not slamming Jalen Hurts. I love Jalen Hurts. But I have to put Burrow in front of Jalen Hurts. And not that there's been a lot more longevity, but if Hurts doesn't have that Super Bowl that he did, and I don't know when... Like, I don't know when they take these votes. Do you, Hickey, here? It's always ambiguous, this process.
Well, sometime in the offseason. I don't know when, but...
Yeah. So, if that's right, if Hurts doesn't play the way that he did in the Super Bowl, he's not going to be there at 3, and that shouldn't wash away what Joe Burrow has done for 2 seasons, really, going toe-to-toe with Patrick Mahomes.
Well, also, too, for Joe Burrow, I mean, in two... They each, right? Hurts and Burrow have been in the playoffs twice. For Burrow, it's Super Bowl, AFC title game. For Hurts, it's
wild card round loss,
Super Bowl.
Yeah.
So, again, in that situation, you've had Burrow having more consistent, put consistent in air quotes because, again, it's only 2 years, but more consistent playoff success right now compared to Jalen Hurts and his early career.
Did you see, by the way, how many quarterbacks were in the top 100?
I did not see the overall number, no. There's what, 3 in the top 10?
Four in the top 10. Four, because Josh Allen was in it at 8 overall, and he was the fourth quarterback.
I will guess.
Do this. How many of the 14 do you think you could guess? You already have Mahomes, Hurts. Oh, 14.
Hurts. I was going to say 12. Okay.
Yeah, there was 14. You have Mahomes, Hurts, Burrow, and Allen.
Right. So I need 10 more.
Who do you think is fifth?
Aaron Rodgers.
Nope.
Justin Herbert.
Yes. He is fifth in terms of the top quarterbacks. Who do you think is sixth?
Sixth.
He is not. You will never be able to guess six. Six is stunning.
Six is stunning.
Stunning.
Lamar Jackson?
No, that wouldn't be stunning.
We'll just go with the injuries.
But you also got to remember, players respect Lamar Jackson a lot, as they should, because of that the great unanimous MVP season that he had a bunch of years ago and how tough he is to defend.
What number? Overall, do you have the overall ranking?
I do not.
No, I mean, I'm just trying to honestly buy time by asking you that because I'm trying to rack my brain of who could be above Aaron Rodgers. That is shocking.
It is shocking because this guy, this is probably going to give it away. He is the definition.
Kirk Cousins.
I was just about to say good, not great. Yeah, it was Kirk Cousins. Now I'm trying to see what the overall number was. So Mahomes was 1 overall. Jalen Hurts was the second quarterback, but the third overall player in the league. Josh Allen was the 8th overall, and Burrow was the third quarterback, 6th overall player. Josh Allen was the 4th quarterback, 8th overall player. And then the fifth quarterback was
Justin Herbert.
I'm trying to see where he pops up on this list. He was the 32nd overall player in the league. Now, let's see how far I have to scroll to get to Kirk Cousins. 42.
Maybe a lot of people watched quarterback on Netflix. Maybe the vote was more recent than we thought.
So, Rodgers was 7th, coming off the injury.
Okay.
51st. You can't tell me there's 50 players better in the NFL entering this season than Aaron Rodgers. Now, can you guess who the 8th quarterback was? And this is juicy. It is juicy because he's 8, but who's in front of him at a different position on the same team makes it juicy.
Huh.
One spot before him, and it is juicy.
So his teammate is one spot before him?
Yes, and it is juicy. Very juicy.
Is it Lamar Jackson?
No. What player on the offensive side of the ball would be in front of Lamar?
I don't know. I'm just trying to think of how many more quarterbacks are better than Lamar Jackson. We talk about the top 8 quarterbacks. We're going to hit 8.
Use your head here. He's not the 8th best quarterback in
AFC
football.
AFC or NFC? I just need one hint.
NFC. Okay.
Oh. Jared Goff.
Nope.
Dak Prescott.
Yep. And he's the 8th quarterback, 56th player overall. In front of him, Tony Pollard. Oof. That's the NFL player saying, oof, we fear Tony Pollard more than Dak Prescott last year. And if you judge that game up against the 49ers, when Tony Pollard goes down, they're not wrong. The 9th best quarterback, according to the players. By the way, shout out to my guy, Debo Samuel, who loves to hang up the phone on me. He was the 61st player in the league. He was top 10 player, I think, last year on this list. How he's fallen down to 61. At least top 15.
Lamar Jackson?
No, you've already mentioned this player.
Jared Goff.
Yep.
Let's
Jared
go.
Jared Goff is the 9th best quarterback, according to the player, 66 overall. You want to try take a stab here at 10?
I'm going to keep guessing Lamar Jackson until he's... There it is.
Ding,
Lamar
ding,
Jackson,
ding,
number
ding,
10.
72 overall. Now, the 11th best quarterback in the league. I think this will elicit a response from you.
From me specifically?
Mm-hmm.
Anthony Richardson. NFL already given the respect he deserves.
Do me a favor. Go dunk your head in some scorpions, why don't you?
All right, so we have 4 quarterbacks left. I know for a fact there is it's Justin Fields?
No.
Okay.
He is on the list.
Yes, I know.
Because
he was
we talked about that
because
it was ridiculous.
Lawrence.
Yeah, with Trevor Lawrence.
I know those two are coming in later. I think actually maybe the last two.
If I give you this hint, it will totally give
okay,
it to
don't
you.
Give don't give me a hint. So we have 2 quarterbacks left.
I'll give you 2 guesses here. And then I will give you the hint that will give it away.
2 guesses. What number is this?
This is the 11th best quarterback in the league, according to the players.
11th best quarterback.
77th player overall.
Is it my guy, Matthew Stafford?
Stafford was not on the list. Give you one more guess, and then I will basically give you the answer.
Wow. Elicit a response from me. Oh, now between 2. I'm going to say Deshaun Watson.
Incorrect. Deshaun Watson, not on this list. Well, I only played, 6 games last year?
Yeah.
Some people wrote this guy off. He did not write back.
He had a good year. he deserves it.
Geno Smith. The 12th quarterback on this list. 82nd player overall. You're a big fan of this guy.
Is this Justin Fields?
No. You're a big fan of this guy.
Russell Wilson.
You're a big fan of this guy. Russell Wilson was on the list.
I'm a big fan of this guy.
Huge.
Brock Purdy. 6 games.
Nope, not rocking out with your Brock out on this one.
I'm a huge... Tua?
Yep. Tua Tagovailoa. 82nd overall.
And then it's Trevor Lawrence. Or no, Justin Fields, then Trevor Lawrence.
Justin Fields was the 13th quarterback on this list, 86 overall. And then Trevor Lawrence. This is how dumb this list is. You're telling me there's 95 players better in the league than Trevor Lawrence?
Apparently. Don't love that for bulletin-board material, but.
That's stupid. That really is. Now, where do you think the first running back was? Because that's in the news as well.
Oh, first running back.
First running back.
I'm going to guess it's Christian McCaffrey. I will say he's...
Nope, you're not even close. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 running backs in front of Christian McCaffrey.
What?
Well, remember.
He had a great year last year.
Yeah, he did. That's true.
He was tremendous.
No. You know what I was going to say? I was going to say he was banged up, but that's not the case. It's just because when you look at the numbers, it was split between the Panthers and
the 49ers.
Didn't he
play an extra game? I think he played 8. I forget when the bye week was, but he played a good amount of games. I don't think he missed
one. He played 17.
Okay, so there you go. Played a full season.
But it's like we break that off into two different seasons, but it was one.
Well, I guess Josh Jacobs is one.
Like Josh Jacobs running is back one. Wise. He is the 12th.
Oh, the 12th. 22nd.
The 12th player overall. Who do you think is the second best running back in football?
Jonathan Taylor.
By the players. Voted by the players. You know what?
Now, he actually had a bad year last year. I don't know if he was.
JT's not even on this.
This is what's frustrating. Is it a lifetime achievement award, or is into this year only based on last year?
That's what I think it is.
Okay, that changes my thinking then a little bit. Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry was the third running back on this list, 25th overall. The second one is an obvious one. Obvious.
Well, it's not Christian McCaffrey.
A guy that is a dear, 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 dear friend of the show. Mm-hmm. 21st overall. Now, some may argue this is the best running back in football as the fourth running back on the NFL top 100 list.
Some may argue that? Best?
For a big reason.
For
a big reason. There's your hint. Now, do I have to do the Johnny Manziel? I know that documentary is coming out, I think, tonight. Do I have to do the Johnny Manziel money sign? Why I say it's for a big reason?
Saquon Barkley?
Nope. He didn't get paid on that $900,000 incentivized tag. Nope.
Who got paid?
The last guy to get an extension from the running back in 2021, a big deal, Nick Chubb. Saquon was the fifth best running back, 31st overall player in the league. McCaffrey, 6th. 35th overall, Tony Pollard at 55 overall, Aaron Jones 64, Dalvin Cook 91, and then Jamal Williams, a touchdown machine last year, in at 95. So that's some reactions right there. Do you believe Justin Jefferson entering the season is the best wide receiver in the league, in the NFL?
I would say Tyreek Hill. I think it's very close.
You would?
Very close, yes.
Okay. What about Devontae Adams?
Third.
Because I do think those are the three best wide receivers in the league. You could order them pretty much however you want. Personally, entering the year, I would go Devontae 1, Justin Jefferson 2, and then Tyreek Hill in at number 3. And do you believe that Nick Bosa is the best defensive player in the sport right now? Because he was the fourth best player in the league, voted on by the players.
I would say so. I think Micah Parsons needs one more year. I think he'll overtake him. I like his versatility. But right now, I'll give Nick Bosa the edge going to this year alone.
It is the Zach Yelp Show on CBS Sports Radio. We will come on back with a news brief, some interesting stuff that was revealed by Ron Rivera and Eric Bieniemy. You don't want to miss it.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show. Time for your daily news brief. We get you caught up on the rumors, reports, and reconnaissance from the day in sports.
All righty, let's start things off with Ron Rivera. He admits that players have complained about Eric Bieniemy's coaching style.
Yeah, I mean, they have. And I had a number of guys come to me and I said, hey, just go talk to him. I said, understand what he's trying to get across to you, you know. And I think as they go and they talk and they listen to him, it's been enlightening for a lot of these guys. Again, you get a different kind of player from the players back in the past. Especially in light of how things are coming out of college football. So a lot of these young guys, you know, they do struggle with certain things.
So, Hickey, I have not heard the entire press conference, but he was just asked about Bieniemy and revealed this stuff. I know there was a Jonathan Jones article, but I think that was after the press conference based off what Rivera said or a conversation he had with Rivera. Why would Ron Rivera, when you're trying to bring in a new offensive coordinator, and this probably shouldn't factor into it, but there's so many people that root against Bieniemy, and I would love to see Bieniemy get a head coaching job, but the last few years, with how much this guy's been talked about, it seems as if people are like rooting against this guy to get a head coaching job. Why would you ever say that when you're bringing in a guy who's basically the head coach of your offense that the players have complained about him? And if the players are complaining about him, you know, last time I checked, and don't get me wrong, there's some good players on the Commanders' offense, but that offense has not been where it should be. So maybe you should listen to the guy in Eric Bieniemy, who's not the end-all, be-all and the savior necessarily, but the guy that has had championship offenses the last few years. I don't get, unless I'm missing something here, why Rivera would just so openly say this and admit this.
He also in that clip mentioned college football and young guys, meaning it's probably first and second year players on offense that he's talking about.
Why zip it.
Would you right? Why would you take their opinion at this point when they don't know any better, either never been through an NFL training camp or have been through one so far, and say, you know what, I got to bring this to light? If Terry McLaurin is saying something, okay, maybe a different story. At least someone who's been around the block and has some sort of cachet in the league.
There's honestly two players. Terry McLaurin, as you said, and I'm talking about the offense side of the ball. And not that this player should have this clout, but they need Sam Howell this year because he's their starting quarterback. If Howell has a problem with the offense coordinator, that's a different story. But then once again, Sam Howell, what the heck have you done in this league?
That's why if you're Ron Rivera, you squash that right away. You don't make this a public story. You put them in their place. You say, suck it up. This is coaching, and this is how you're going to get better. Not to mention, what have the Commanders done on offense anyway? Nothing.
Nothing.
It's like they know what the standard of success is.
They were like the 20-something offense last year.
And they're going to really complain that a guy who just came over from the defending world champs on offense is coaching them
that has the respect
hard?
Of Patrick Mahomes.
Right. Like
the
who
best
are
player
you
in the
to
league.
Say bare minimum, like, this guy is, I don't like the way he's coaching.
And the other part of this conversation as well is Rivera, who I give him credit. We get him on the show each and every year. So I like Ron Rivera, but I have to be objective here. Last year with the whole Wentz situation, he made that a bigger deal than what it needed to be, storming off in that press conference and getting so emotional. And you, unless I'm totally missing something, he just opened this stuff up? That doesn't make any sense to me. It's confusing.
He stepped in it and should have been a non-story. This is, you know, coaches like sometimes they like they have subliminal messaging.
Go
they
Belichick.
Want things to be out in the public to kind of send a message.
Yeah.
This was one where this did not have to be public. You did not have to say anything. You squash behind closed doors. If anything, it makes him look weak because now you need to almost, you know, have the public kind of shame these young players instead of doing it yourself.
So here's the thing with Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy should be head coach in this league. But the one thing that people say, which we don't know, is how does he interview? And every time I hear Eric Bieniemy speak, I'm like, the guy's a good quote. You know, I can't imagine this guy interviews poorly. So let's hear how Bieniemy responded to this stuff today. This is Eric Bieniemy on his coaching style.
I'm always going to be loud and I'm always going to be vocal. I'm always going to demand from our leaders. But sometimes they may not like it. And I'm perfectly fine with that because that's my job. Because if I ain't doing my job, my ass get fired. It's my job and my responsibility to make sure. And I'm getting our guys to do what I expect them to do.
And Eric Bieniemy says he's tough on players, but also supports them more than anyone.
Eric Bieniemy is who he is, okay? Eric Bieniemy knows how to adapt and adjust. Eric Bieniemy is a tough, hard-nosed coach. But also understand, I'm going to be their biggest and harshest critic, but I'm also their number one fan because I got their back and I'm going to support them at all times.
Isn't that how a lot of people view their dad? Hickey, where your dad could be your biggest critic, but he will always support you and in theory should have your best interests. Those two clips by Bieniemy, I like what I'm hearing a lot from Eric Bieniemy right there. Because that's not an easy situation that he was thrown into, which didn't need to be said. And I thought Bieniemy could not have handled that more perfectly.
The only crime he committed there is referring himself in the third person. You can't do that. I'm sorry. The message was great. You like you said, he had a father figure like response,
yeah.
And that's what you want.
That's a good point.
You can't be saying Eric Bieniemy is tough. Eric Bieniemy is a great leader or an adapter. I think he said. You come on.
Well, I will say when people have called in to question your mustache, I thought I heard you earlier say Ryan Hickey knows fashion. Ryan Hickey knows what a good mustache is. I thought I heard you say that earlier.
if players want to complain that they don't like Eric Bieniemy saying Eric Bieniemy knows offense, run this play the way Eric Bieniemy says to run the play, You know what? I'll back on that stance only. That's the only thing I will stand by the players with, that that's truly their complaint.
So I just used the dad analogy. I would say that Marco Belletti could be your harshest critic, but he's also your biggest supporter. Marco's sitting there smiling like a proud pop right there. I've never seen a grin that big on Marco Belletti's face when he used the third person.
That was the first thing that I heard. When I heard the clip, I was like, you can't talk to yourself in the third person. So, Rye, the fact that you picked that out immediately, kudos to you. Perfectly done.
Look at that. Now, what do you think about Hickey's mustache, by the way?
You know. I will admit, like, I walked into the studio a little while ago because I needed to say something to Hickey, and it kind of made me stop in my tracks. Now, I give you credit for this. Take some guts to walk around like that. Take some guts. So I'll give you that.
I'm a tough guy, Marco.
Do I think it's a good look? No, I don't. See, but then again, you're coming to me for fashion. So.
Hey, just take the compliment, okay?
I mean, take it for where it's worth.
But this is what, did you hear what he just said?
What?
He goes, I'm a tough guy. Like, a mustache now makes you tough?
No, the fact that he's willing to walk around like an ass clown and be okay with it. That takes some toughness. It does, because you got to not care what people think about you, and that's a good quality to have. So in that regard, good for you. Do I think it looked good? No, I don't.
So each and every Bill Belichick press conference, I've been avoiding it because I love playing this game, Hickey, where I don't want to hear it. I want to see if I could guess it. So you write on the slug line here, Bill Belichick doesn't commit to Mac Jones starting the first preseason game. Do you have any idea, something along the lines of what the question was? Was it just who's your starting quarterback for the first preseason game?
What are the reps going to be, and will Mac Jones start the first preseason game on Thursday?
You'll find out when we get on the field. We're not going to give any titles at this point, and you'll have to wait and see. Let's hear.
What's your plan for Thursday night for the snap counts for each quarterback?
Yeah, I'm still working on that. But the players who are least experienced will get the most playing time, I can tell you that.
Will Matt start?
Yeah, I don't know.
So he says, yeah, I don't know. But he basically gives you the answer where he goes, the guys with the most experience, I think he said starter or going to play from the jump, whatever he said there.
We'll get the most playing time.
Yeah, so Mac's going to start the game.
Much more experience than Bailey Zappi? Not by much. What, a year? Does he consider that a substantial amount?
This is now his third year in the
And Zappi's in year two. So I'm saying it's not that big of a gap. Like, I could easily see Bill Belichick playing the mental game of, well, it's, you know.
But Mac Jones has played a lot more games than Bailey Zappi.
Yes. Yes.
So I think it's just whenever you ask the follow-up, when he basically gave you the answer without saying the answer, that's when Belichick gets real moody.
Why can't you just say yes? Like a normal coach.
I agree. Well, that's actually up for debate. We have Baker Mayfield or Kyle Trask in Tampa for the backup quarterback with Kyle Shanahan, who you love. We have Trey Lance or Sam Darnold. Let's go to Dan Campbell, is fired up that the Lions sold out their season tickets.
I feel wind underneath my freaking wings, man. That's what I feel.
Truthfully?
Truthfully.
It uplifts you.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I love this, man. This is outstanding. I love our fans. I love that, man, they feel it like we feel it. And no, this is not a burden. This is not pressure. This is not weight. This is, man, this gives me inspiration is what it does for me.
Marco, you would agree that nationally, a lot of people are pulling and loving Dan Campbell, right?
No doubt.
Would you also agree a lot of people love Mike McDaniel, the head coach of the Miami Dolphins?
Different reason, yes.
Both of those coaches better win this year. Because I think the act, even though Dan Campbell's really entertaining, right, man's man, and Mike McDaniel is strange, and he comes off as very funny. I don't really get the jokes, I feel like, with Mike McDaniel. But if those guys don't win, I think their act or the way they conduct themselves in press conferences are going to get old.
I would say McDaniel 100%. Campbell, no.
Just because of how intimidating he looks?
No, I think it's just also because I think it's genuine. I think it's fun. And it's the Lions. So as much as we would want to get on him, I think we almost give it a pass simply because of the way he acts and because it's the Lions.
Pete Thamel discusses the chances the ACC gets Stanford and Cal. This was on SportsCenter.
Nothing gets college presidents more excited than an affiliation with two of the most elite academic institutions in the country? Obviously, Cal, one of the premier public institutions. Stanford, obviously, one of the elite private institutions. Stanford, top to bottom, I don't think anyone would argue, has the best athletic department in the entire country. Second reason, they are distressed assets with nowhere to go right now. So I think picking up the phone and doing some vetting and exploratory talks, and sources have cautioned me, these are early talks. They are formal talks because people are getting on the phone, but they are early. They don't see a lot of drawback into at least having the chat and running out the ground ball, if you will, to see where they are.
So, Hickey, I think the ACC should learn from what happened with the Big 12 and the Pac-12 here. Through time, you're going to lose some ACC schools, especially when you get further along in that contract that expires, I believe, in 2036. Like, Florida State's going to leave. You may have a few other schools as well. I would be proactive here rather than reactive to those schools eventually leaving and just take a few extra schools here when inevitably some of those schools do leave. That would just be me.
Why I would say no is just because of that TV contract, you're not getting more money by bringing in Cal and Stanford. So you already have schools wanting to leave because they feel like they're not getting enough money for what they're worth. Now you're going to be taking some away, a little bit away from what the little they already get. So it's only going to, in a way, almost incentivize schools like Florida State, Miami, Clemson to want to leave faster.
But can't you do something like Cal and Stanford really have no leg to stand on right now? So can't you do something like what happened with Washington and Oregon where you don't give them the full rate? Because they're only getting $30 million until the new deal per year, I believe.
Right, but still, like, the ACC, like, they're not getting more money, though. Like the ACC, whatever, let's just say they get $1 billion. Pick out a number for the TV contract that they divvy up between the 14 schools. That $1 billion is not changing.
Sure.
So now instead of 14, it's 16. Yeah. And you're right, even if you're getting less, it's still... You're taking away money from somewhere to give it, you know, you're robbing Paul to pay Peter. You're still having to take money away in order to give it to Cal and Stanford.
But when you look at the ACC, you would probably agree there's probably only going to be three or four schools in there that will be attractive to the Big Ten and the SEC. So I would.
That's if they want them at all, yeah.
So that's why I would be focused on the majority of schools there, not just the top three or four schools, because those schools inevitably will leave through time. Jimbo Fisher says he doesn't like it, but understands conference realignment.
I'm not saying I like it either, but I understand the administrative point of it, that if you get left out of it, from a financial standpoint, you can become insignificant. I get both worlds of it, and that's you got to be careful what you create as the monster you create in college athletics. And like I say, I think, is it a perfect world? No, but it's inevitable. Change is inevitable. It's going to keep happening. So, unfortunately, we're in a time now that everybody's fighting over the dollar.
So it's tough to follow Jimbo there. And he's right, everyone's fighting over the dollar. But I always feel like coaches sound so tone deaf when they say these things. Because Jimbo Fisher left the ACC to go get that big contract in an SEC school in Texas A&M. How is that any different than a school leaving a conference to go get the big money dollars here? That's what, like, I don't know if Jimbo was being overly critical there. He kind of lost me. But I always feel like it's better for these coaches here to kind of just shut up when it comes to talk about NIL and all the conference realignment, because I don't think, Hickey, there's much to gain here.
I don't think what he said is wrong. I mean, maybe a little hypocritical.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
And being that Texas A&M left the Big 12 to go to the SEC, it's not like they're innocent either. But it's also, like, it's a tough place. He's not wrong. Like, you may not like it, you may not agree with it, but it's unfortunately a necessity to make these moves. Otherwise, it's like adapt or die. If you don't adapt, you are dead in college football.
Right message, wrong messenger. And finally, so I slammed John Angelos yesterday, just suspending. I know he's going to return the broadcaster, Kevin Brown, for basically just giving stats about how the Orioles for the last few years haven't been able to do anything at Tropicana Field up against the Rays. Here's one of the preeminent broadcasters in baseball, Gary Cohn, on SNY, crushing the Orioles for their suspension of Kevin Brown.
Let me just say one thing to Baltimore Orioles management. You draped yourself in humiliation when you fired John Miller, and you're doing it again. And if you don't want Kevin Brown, there are 29 other teams who do. It's a horrendous decision by the Orioles. I don't know what they were thinking, but they've gotten exactly the reaction that they deserve. And it's just a shame because the Orioles are playing so well, and now they've diverted attention from that and now made themselves a laughing.
So there's an Orioles game going on right now, and there are loud free Kevin Brown chants at the game. Now, I will say this. I already ranted about this yesterday. I have exhausted all energy about this topic. I feel like this topic really annoys Marco Belletti, because you hate when people are just stupid and petulant and do stupid things because they're insecure.
Yep.
Especially when all Kevin Brown said was the truth, and not even an offensive way.
Insecure is the right word. That's all it is. You're thin-skinned, you're insecure, and you want to complain about things that really have no business complaining about. And you got all the reaction that they needed. This is good. In one way, this is great for Kevin Brown, and I'm thrilled for him. Because, let's be fair, most people around the country had no idea who Kevin Brown was.
You're not wrong.
And now we do, and we know why, and we know that he did his job. So this is all on Angelos, and this is Kevin Brown giving him an opportunity to stand up, and he's going to get his job back, and he's going to be in the spotlight that he needs to be. Hopefully this will elevate his career even more. That's the shining light that comes out of this. But the fact that you, I mean, you own a baseball team.
Yeah, right.
What are you listening to? What bothers you? What? Because you're losing? What? You're actually having a great year. What? What is the problem?
And when I first saw the headline, baseball announcer suspended, I thought this was like a Tom Bredeman situation. I thought there was going to be something overly offensive and awful and things that should never be said. And I watch it. I go, did they upload the wrong clip? And then I watch it again. I watch it again. I go, he's just saying that the team was bad for a while, gave the stats that were in the game notes that were on the graphics.
And he didn't even give any opinions.
And didn't even give an opinion. And then it ended with, they have a chance to do this today.
Right. That's what I mean. There wasn't even an opinion.
And that's the story of the Orioles, where they've been bad for so long, and now they're having this great season. What, you have to ignore the last 10 years?
I don't understand that concept. I don't get why you would have to sit there and put the wool over everybody's eyes. Like, no, let's never talk about anything. Yeah. Why? What are you so afraid of? What do you think is going to happen? Do you really think that fans will stop paying or buy, leave your product because you talk about something that happened when you were bad in the... Like, what do you think is the problem? I don't grasp. I don't get it.
Imagine if Hickey was the... And I know we got to take a break. Imagine if Hickey was the play-by-play broadcaster for the Indianapolis Colts. Now, the Colts had, two wins on the season when they ended up getting Andrew Luck. And that first year, didn't they go to the playoffs, Hickey, with Andrew Luck?
11-5.
Yep.
Imagine if Hickey was the broadcaster. We're like, a year ago, Peyton Manning was injured. They only won two games. And now Andrew Luck has taken this team to the playoffs. And then Jim Irsay was like, Hickey, you're suspended indefinitely.
You know, again, there's too many owners and too many organizations that get way too involved in what their broadcasters are doing. That we know, and that's something that's unfortunately prevalent a lot of places.
Yeah.
And you do have to toe the line to a point, because you have to understand where your check comes from. I get all of that.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that you can't even discuss facts, not even your opinion, it's beyond thin-skinned. It's to the point where it's like, then don't own the club. If this bothers you, then you know what? Get out of the game.
You're in the wrong business.
Sell it. Get your money. Go home. Because obviously you can't handle anybody saying anything negative about you. Get out of sports. Because if you can't handle negativity, don't do this. Just don't do it.
There we go.
You're listening to the Zach Gelb Show.
The Defensive Player of the Week is sponsored by the Navy Federal Credit Union, who proudly serves the Armed Forces, DOD, veterans, and their families. Their members are the mission. Learn more at NavyFederal.org. How about Brewers starter Freddie Peralta? He was dealing on Monday night, tossing 7 innings of one-hit ball and striking out 13 batters en route to Milwaukee's 12-1 victory over the Colorado Rockies. Over the last 3 games, Brewers starters have combined to allow just 7 hits, 5 earned runs, while striking out 27 hitters. So this Johnny Manziel documentary has come out on Netflix. Hickey, this is probably the least surprising thing ever. And I love Johnny Manziel in college. I was never a big believer that he was going to be a great quarterback in the NFL, but I was hoping he was going to be because of how electrifying he was in college. I'm reading a clip right now from Ari Mirov on My Sports Update from the doc. Johnny Manziel admitted in the new Netflix documentary that he watched 0 tape during his time with the Browns. The GM called his agent and said his iPad hours, 0. How about that? Like, it's not stunning because Manziel did not give a bleep in the NFL, but to have the same amount of iPad hours as Jamarcus Russell is actually impressive.
I mean, even at A&M, they're winning games because he's purely an athlete and was able to outrun everyone else. Wasn't scheme, wasn't, you know, him reading defenses. His credit, it's almost impressive that you can do that little work while everyone else is outworking you, and you're still having a lot of success, and you're still beating Nick Saban in his house. But, yeah, not exactly surprising he'd go to the NFL and he flamed out as fast as he did.
So you have this, which I'm very intrigued, right? We saw the Manti Te'o documentary that I was in, which was phenomenal. You had The Last Dance, which really gave us a ton of content during COVID. I think there's a Florida documentary coming out.
Next week.
Is that next week?
Should be the 12th, I think, or somewhere around there, 14th.
I hope that lives up to the hype because there's so much there with that Florida football team. So I'm curious to see that. So I guess I'll go home tonight and I'll watch this. Is this a docu-series or is it just one
just
episode?
Just one, I believe. Okay. And Hard Knocks starts tonight, too, if you're interested.
That's right, with the JETS Jets. All righty, that's all the time we have that we have for you today. Maybe we'll go eat a GD snack as we'll channel our inner Rex Ryan going back to the last time the Jets were on Hard Knocks. Fun show today. Big thanks to Sean Merriman for joining us in studio, John Kuhn, and Brian Jones. We'll be back tomorrow for a Wednesday edition of the show. Thank you for listening, calling, and tweeting. We out. Bye-bye. Peace!